keeps laughing. Our new president celebrates Black History Month by comparing himself to Martin Luther King, then goes to the National Prayer Breakfast and prays for Arnold Schwarzenegger's ratings, then picks a fight with Australia. Australia, home of the koala bear. We're at war with the koala bear. And what happens? Nancy Pelosi wags her finger and solemnly shakes her head, and that's about it. And what does Bernie Sanders do? Zero, zip, nada, nothing. He didn't even threaten to give the president a stern look. Okay, a sterner look. Heads need to roll, people. Careers have to be sacrificed. Negatives of members of the administration in flagrant delicto with livestock have got to go viral. It's time for the Democrats to kick off their Birkenstocks and put on some football cleats. Because right now, they are as useless as an injection seat in a helicopter, mud flaps on a tortoise, a costume designer on a porn flick, inflatable dartboards, solar-powered night scopes, a glass piñata.
For KZFR Radio, I'm Will Durst.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are listening to Love in the 21st Century. I am hosting tonight. My name is Tamara Wickma, and we are on every Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Love in the 21st Century is a talk show with live call-ins, interviews, and discussions on the philosophical to the practical look of love, from romantic relationships to connections with humanity. One-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, one-third compassion training. And tonight, we're going to do a little visiting into the past. We did some wonderful shows while Julian and Emily Rose were with us, and we were talking about them last week on the air, Desiree, Susan, a new host, and I. And so I thought, why not revisit talking about Emily Rose's book, which we referenced on the show last week. So Break Your Bad Love Habits is what we're going to be listening to. You know, it's February, it's the week before Valentine's Day. People are often thinking about that sort of dynamic in their life. And so why not shine a light on that and think about what we bring to relationships before we even start, which is sort of what Emily really focuses on in her book. So I'm really excited for everyone to tune in and hear about Break Your Bad Love Habits. I'm here in the studio. If you want to call and ask a question, I'd be happy to answer it and get you on the air. The number's 895-1114. Happy Tuesday, folks. So glad that you're listening. Segment on the intimate parts of relationships, joined of course by Jules.
Howdy.
And Miss Emily Rose.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about breaking your bad love habits. So stay tuned. It's going to be surely a good one.
up, get up, get up. Let's make love tonight.
Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by The Printed Image, specializing in custom screen printing and embroidery since 1980. The Printed Image offers American apparel and organic cotton options and can be reached at 898-9525.
I think I'm capsizing. The waves are rising and rising. And when I get that feeling, I want sexual healing.
All right. Here we are, Love in the 21st Century. Thank you, Miss Emily Rose, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I hope, well, you guys have no idea how much fun we were having in the studio listening to that song, but I'm sure you can imagine. It was pretty hilarious time, Julian explaining it to me and all. So,
yeah. Believe it or not, Tammy was unsure what that song means.
I'm not unsure now, so thank you, Julian. So, yes, we're going to be talking with Miss Emily about her now number one Amazon bestseller book, Breaking Your Bad Love Habits.
Yeah, Break Your Bad Love Habits.
Yeah, so it's actually on Amazon right now. So if you want to get a free copy to hear and, you know, learn about what we're talking about, download it now while you still can.
Yeah, it's on a free promo until tomorrow, so go snag it. Break Your Bad Love Habits. It's 5 steps to free yourself from heartbreak and transform your relationships forever.
Forever. You got 4 days before Valentine's Day.
Right. And Emily is not just some random person. She is a she is a local author and also an experienced life coach. So this this book, from what I read, had elements of your own life in it, but then also things you've learned along the way as a life coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So 5 steps, right?
There are. Yeah. There. I've broken it down into 5 steps. Absolutely.
What's step number one?
Right, jump right into it, Julian.
That's right.
Well, in short, there is first you want to reclaim your joy. Uh-huh. Step two is shift your perspective. Step three is clear the past. You know, you don't want to carry around all that baggage from relationship to relationship. Step four is learn how to receive love. And step five is taking that, all of these lessons, and manifesting more consciously the mm-hmm. relationships and life that you desire.
I particularly like the idea of the baggage one for whatever reason. I don't know where I recently heard this, but, you know, it's like traveling in the airport. Now, it's so much easier getting on the airplane with just your carry-on. And if you try carrying all those bags, now they charge you for those bags. So it's really interesting.
I like the metaphor.
To compare it to relationships. Like, you know, I can deal with this, but, you know, you're going to have to give me something in return for this mm-hmm. extra baggage. But yeah. So reclaiming your joy, that's an important, you know, number one step.
Yeah, let's see. If you are listening and you have found yourself in... you know, what I kind of view as almost the right thing several times maybe mm-hmm. in your adult life, then this is really kind of a book with some neat exercises for you. So if you're going, actually, I kind of have been through that, might want to grab a little pen and paper and write down these steps as we go through them.
If you do go ahead and download that book, there's actually a free workbook that comes along with it. So you can go to Amazon, download the book, and then go and click that link and enter your email to get a free workbook. So you don't even have to, yeah, all you need is the pen and then just print out the paper.
So Amazon, Breaking Your Bad Love Habits.
Yep.
It's free. It's from a local author. It's about love.
Free for now.
Real quick, just for now.
It's like a Valentine's Day gift, and gift it to yourself and your friends, right?
That's right. But, so let's get into the content here. What do we got going on?
So, in any specific part, I mean, the whole thing is, you know, intended to help people to remove the unwanted relationship patterns in their life. So, focusing primarily starting with the self. So, of course, if you want to have more conscious, more loving, more authentic relationships, you have to be a more conscious and loving, authentic person first. So, this book takes you into what's called the shadow self, which is kind of the darker side of yourself that, you know, is in the shadow from others and sometimes from yourself. So, it helps to bring to light some of the things that you might not be aware of patterns that are blocking you from having successful romantic relationships. And a question that I get a lot actually is, what's the most common bad love habit? And I can like, I would say that the most common quote unquote bad love habit would be pairing up with unavailable partners. So whether that's like emotionally unavailable or physically unavailable due to maybe long distance relationships or marriage, like somebody being married and trying to get in a relationship with
ooh,
them.
That can be challenging.
Right. So, but you know, emotionally unavailable partners is a pretty, is a pretty common thing. So, yeah. So, and of course this book totally addresses how to not be sort of victim to your own, the shadow that you're not currently conscious of that attracts these emotionally unavailable people into your life.
Now, sometimes you got to go through some relationships to learn about yourself and then become somebody that's maybe emotionally ready for something.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that everyone at a certain point spends a time being the emotionally unavailable person, whether or not they're honest to it or not, mm-hmm. because we are attending to other things inside of ourselves and yet present, semi-present in a relationship and saying like, I'm here, but really you're not there. You know, you got one foot in the relationship and one foot looking out at the rest of the world, which is natural for people in their 20s, you know, into their 30s to be doing. It's like, we're still figuring out what we're doing in our life. What we talked about last week about finding your path and knowing who you are. Mm-hmm. A lot of people bounce off other people while they're figuring out who they are. So
yeah, and I wouldn't even limit that to the 20s and 30s. I think that's a humankind thing, you know, to be attracted to others and always be looking out. But to be in a relationship, it really comes down to the choice of being in a relationship and that's sticking right. through it. And because you're always going to get to that point with somebody when you're in a long-term committed relationship where it's like, okay, well, I can bail. But if you bail and you go and you get into a relationship with someone else, you're just going to get there with that person too. So
absolutely.
It does come down to a choice.
So, yeah, what inspired you to get to this book?
Basically just to help I think as many people as possible to become more conscious and have more authentic love. I mean, ultimately, you know, the more that we can love and accept our own selves, the better world we will live mm-hmm. in. And so, you know, having gone through quite, you know, quite a journey in my own life and the never-ending journey, of course, just to be able to share what I've learned and help people kind of expedite their training in, you know, for themselves and their own self-love and self and
so
self-acceptance.
As a women life coach, correct? Then you've yeah. sort of been seeing this pattern come through where women or, you know, whoever your clients are going mm-hmm. through these experiences of not maybe being able to see what is creating the situation. And so is that yeah. the book essentially is a tool?
Absolutely. It's definitely a tool to, yeah, become more aware, self-aware.
So you've noticed themes and then and you have some actual hands-on, write it down,
yeah,
process it. Practices and exercises in your book.
Yeah, and the transformation that, you know, my coaching clients have gone through is so profound that it's like, okay, well, how can I get this information out there to a wider audience for a more affordable price? Although it is, of course, not the same as having like a one-on-one coaching relationship, it mm-hmm. still offers an immense amount of value for sure. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking to Miss Emily Rose of Breaking Your Bad Love Habits. And if you have a question or just a comment that you want to give us a call, 895-1114. We got, you know, a little bit of time here, 20 more minutes to be chatting, so give us your thoughts. I do think that there's an important thing to consider with this book that many people, you know, you reference it in the beginning of your book, actually, now thinking about relationship hopping. Mm-hmm. So there's a point of which you have to decide that you actually want to know what is causing these maybe unconscious decisions in your relationship. Why are you attracting these particular types of people? And so I think, you know, you mentioned that in the beginning of your book and you mentioned the relationship hopping. I think it's, you know, almost a natural desire to like not want to feel that feeling anymore and to just go jump into another relationship mm-hmm. so that you don't have to face, you know, what got you there in the first place. A lot of people like to look outside the window and go, yeah, that they got us here, not me. But really, if you're in a relationship, regardless if you're the unconscious partner or not, like it was, you both, you know, we're on that road together. So mm. it's important to point that out, that this book is for people that are ready to take a better look at that.
Yeah, I would actually say it's better. It's, you know, for people who are ready to take a better look at themselves, because the thing about the relationship hopping that I address in there definitely alludes to people who are unconscious of the fact that why they're relationship hopping, which is to get that PEA chemical love drug like feeling every time you hop into a new relationship where you're swoony and everything like that. There is, you know, that definitely refers to like an unconscious behavior pattern. However, that's not to say that once you become conscious of relationship hopping's reasons for doing it, that you won't want to anymore. You know, if you do want a long-term committed romantic relationship, then yeah, you're going to have to sacrifice that chemical rush that comes in the beginning. But you can become aware of these patterns and then choose not to be in a long-term relationship. You know, you can choose to, my favorite part about all of this work is once you become conscious, it's a choice rather than sort of like a knee-jerk reaction or like running from something that, you know, that you don't even know what it is.
I think relationship hopping, the struggle can be, you know, after the fact primarily, is that you sometimes kind of like an alchemist try to turn a relationship into this is the one. This is the one. And when you go through the this is the one, you know, several times in your adult life, it can get a little wearying.
Yeah.
You get this sense of like, and you don't want to be jaded, but you're like, oh man, like, and so it's like, you know, this book is a lot about making yourself the one and preparing yourself for that mate down the line.
Yeah, but you brought up like one of the best points and one of my favorite exercises from the book. You know, what's happening there is we're looking at this, we have this idea, this whether it's, you know, whether you've sat down and written out, this is my ideal partner, you know, maybe sometimes after each relationship, you're like, okay, next time I don't want this, or I do want this, you know, sometimes we write these things down. Sometimes we just have this concept in our mind of what our ideal partner is like. And what happens is when we first meet somebody that we're interested in, sometimes we take their face and this ideal partner idea and stick them all together. And then the second that, you know, they are cracking up here.
Julia's pointing at me.
Well, because we were talking about this last week.
Okay.
Image versus reality in a relationship.
Right.
You know, like, make sure not to fall in love with your image of somebody.
Well, because what happens is, of course, inevitably, this person falls short of this ideal partner that you've decided that this person must be, you know. And then you end up, like, you know, 3 months, 1 month, 3 months later, going, okay, wait, what? You know, who is this? So I actually, one of the exercises from the book that I'll definitely just share right now.
Yes, please do.
Is this mantra that you can adopt when you notice that you're like, say, on a first date or even just like connecting with somebody across a room. Start this mantra in your head, and the gender may vary, but the mantra is, I let him show me who he is. I let him show me who he is. I let him show me who he is. So when you're sitting there across from somebody at a table, or of course, I let her show me who she is. You know, if you're sitting there and you have this thing running through your head, you actually give the person a chance to be who they are rather than sticking them in this box that you've created for them. And then you give yourself a chance to see whether you actually like this person or not, you know, rather than deciding from pure chemicals that like, oh, this person must be the one. I mean, you know, so.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe in the early 20s and stuff, it happened more, but sometimes it feels like, you know, somebody may have a certain character trait or behavior, and then their new partner will say, but you can't do that. You're my boyfriend. You're my girlfriend. It's like, well, I'm still me. Mm-hmm. It's like, but my boyfriend doesn't do stuff like that. You know, it's like, well, then maybe there's a problem
and,
here.
Well, and then a lot of people sacrifice who they are and try to shape themselves into who they want their partner to be. And this is when you start to lose yourself in romantic relationships, which, you know... I'm pretty sure most of us have been there.
There's an Ani DiFranco line that says, she poured herself into the mold he made for her. And I have just, since I was a teenager, that has stuck in my mind when it comes to relationships, of how often somebody will create a mold. I need this in a partner. And somebody so badly wants to be that partner that they pour themselves into that mold.
Yeah.
And, you know, so yeah, it goes both ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely think it goes both ways. And I think, but that's also like one of the hidden blessings in a relationship as well. Because I think that often our partners show us things that maybe the reason we even get that far down the road with them to be like, oh, I'd actually might want to be that person, aside from that initial attraction of filling in a role for somebody, is because, you know, it brings out an aspect of ourselves that maybe we do want to try on and we don't necessarily know how to. And so in a relationship, it provides an opportunity to expose that part of ourselves. So it calls us out the shadow side, and it calls out a higher side of us too, that maybe it is for us, maybe it isn't, but it's in, you know, being conscious about following down a road that you don't really want to go down. So it, obviously the key here is to be conscious of what's going on in your relationship, and unfortunately that's not always the case,
and respond to what you're aware to. You know, I mean, how often have you, there's a little thing in the beginning that you knew bothered you, and then
that's just it. Yeah.
And then you, it became the big thing.
Right.
The,
at first it's like, oh, that's a cute quirk.
Yeah. You know? Oh, so, so they have like, this oh, lifestyle choice that I can accept because I'm interested in getting to know them better. And later it becomes something that's affecting your life in ways that you didn't necessarily perceive. Not to mention, you know, like we talked about last week, how people change within a relationship. I think in my experience, something that I've always wanted more from a relationship is that sense of acceptance and that feeling that, you know, if I wanted to randomly go visit my family across the country for 2 weeks, I could do that without there being any stress about it, you know? And I think that probably most of my relationships, there would have been some stress about that, you know? So
yeah, and I also, I want to like just check back for a second about the quirk thing. You know, of course, the person that we're going to be with, everybody has their quirks, but what we can do is to allow, like to witness who this person is right off the bat and continue, basically continue that mantra ultimately through the relationship, because everybody's going to have something that you might not like, of course, but what's important is to pick good candidates to partner with. Like very consciously pick somebody that you're in alignment with on the big things, because the little quirks then won't actually end up, I mean, they may aggravate you a little bit, but they'll be very easy to accept compared to the huge things, of course. And maybe that's a little obvious and I didn't have to say that, but you know, but it, but at the same time, you don't see that very often. Right. You do see people compromising on the really big things.
Right. Because I think also, you know, what your book is helping people to do in like a pretense sort of way is to figure that out for yourself. So when you, before you get into a relationship, you're not trying to figure out one, if you even like what your values are in the process of like being in a relationship with this other person at, and finding out if their values are in alignment with yours. And so it, obviously, when you're not defined about who you are, it's easier to kind of just go, oh, yeah, like, I value those things. And then, you know, when the proverbial shit hits the fan and you're and then you realize that relationship really isn't for you, then you go, oh, well, you know, we actually didn't value the same things. It's like you're doing it, you know, in retrospect instead of in beforehand. Yeah. So
there is a short story I read many, not to draw attention away from your lovely book, but there's a story I read some years ago called A Tree, a Rock, a Cloud. And the premise is an older man talking to a young man. And his advice to him is not to start learning to love by loving a woman. And that it's the most complicated and challenging thing of your entire life to have a successful, loving relationship with a partner. And he instead, his advice to the young man was to begin by loving a tree, a rock, a cloud. And that's
so beautiful.
It sticks with you. You know, it's got this feeling of like, and that, and the whole story starts with the old man pointing to a spoon and saying, I love that spoon. And, you know, and still, as an older man, he still was challenged by the process of loving another human being as completely as he's able, you know. So,
well, Don Miguel Ruiz talks about loving, like the he compares loving your pet versus to loving your to loving your partner, because loving your pet, you know, your dog, your cat, or whatever kind of pet you have, is very easy in a way. It's like you're not expecting this animal to be a different animal. You love the cat because it's a cat. You're not like, come on, I wish you were a dog, or you know, vice versa. So you're not expecting them to be something other than what they are. And yet with relationships, we very much often try to change the person who's more cat-like into a dog, or dog-like into a cat, you know, and want them to be something that they're not. And so
now there was also a section of the book that addressed folks that are currently in a relationship, you know, not just preparing themselves, but maybe they're in a relationship that, you know, might be struggling or having some communication breakdown. Enlighten us.
About the communication breakdown part.
Well, I mean, within a relationship,
there's definitely a section called tips to help you stay in a romantic relationship. Because once you're in one, you know, and you've hit that point where it's like, okay, I think I'm going to peace out here pretty soon. You know, it can be a struggle when you're unfulfilled in certain ways. And so, I mean, that section of the book definitely takes some of the kind of bigger struggles in romantic relationships and gives you some tools to move through those. Specifically, do you have any?
Yeah, for our paired up listeners that are already in
Loving
relationship.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out which issue you want to talk about.
Yeah, you're the life coach.
Well, I know.
What's the biggest one out there?
Oh, goodness. That is such a. Lack of sexual satisfaction is a big one. That is a big one. We could go into that. How about just like generally?
I read kind of an expose on it recently, and it turns out most married to the same degree are unsatisfied with their intimate relationship. Mm. And it's like 2/3. And I read it thinking,
Same relationship or in different relationships?
Yeah, in the same relationship, which I found interesting in polls and whatnot. And when people are there and asking for honest opinions, that's what comes out. And it's like, you guys know you're married, right? Like, you know, you can figure this out. You both have the same concerns.
All right. I know we're supposed to be talking about my book, but I have got to recommend this book, A Billion Wicked Thoughts. I've told Tammy all about it. Oh, my goodness. It is the difference between male and female sexuality. And it is like the largest study of it because they totally scraped internet data to like get to get all this like people's searches for porn and things like that.
A billion wicked thoughts.
That book is so awesome. So I mean, that alone will just like illuminate.
Well, it sounds better than 50 Shades of Grey already.
It's incredible. It's definitely gets down to the nitty gritty, you know. But it's very very enlightening.
So
I don't know exactly where we are in terms of talking about Emily's book.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely.
That's round up.
I hope you can tell
minutes.
That Emily is fascinating person to talk to in general, and obviously she wrote a book. So
she does have
she does have the
Love in the 21st Century record for most times on our show.
Absolutely, she is like our third co-host. This is her inaugural.
Yeah, three experience. Times a charm.
After three times, you're a co-host.
Awesome. And so, you can definitely check out my website, too, which has a lot of goodies on it as well. It's emilyrosecoaching.com. That has, some of those blog posts actually did make their way into the book, and I definitely talk about the compromising sexual needs in long-term relationships on the blog on emilyrosecoaching.com, and you will find a link to Break Your Bad Love Habits there as well.
Yep.
So one more time, that is on Amazon right now. It's the number one bestseller, so check it out. You got 2 days to download that. And
For free.
And then after that, you know, you got to pay like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but with Valentine's Day coming up, I mean, it's definitely an opportune time to snag that thing.
Share with your friends, your loved ones, your partners.
Yep. And I mean, if you thought we were getting edgy with topics tonight, we've only begun our 6 weeks adventure. We're 2 weeks in on 6 weeks of love and relationship talk here on Love in the 21st Century. So stay tuned. We're going to get a little bit more riskier as the weeks go on, I think.
It's quite possible. So we do want to let you know, though, there is some wonderful things going on for Valentine's Day. The Love and Bicycles is going on at Grub. They still got tickets. So if you do have a sweetheart that you want to spend your Valentine's Day with or a friend, there's going to be doing a movie screening out there at Grub. And then I know where I'll be on Valentine's Day, which is the New Wave Prom, you know. Who doesn't want to go to prom on Valentine's Day? It's going to be awesome. So lots of things to do with your sweethearts.
Also, February 20th, KZFR fundraiser, Chico Women's Club with Electric Canyon Convergence, Sofa King, and Black Fong. It's also, we'll have some representatives from Love in the 21st Century there as well that night.
So, will you outro our song, Mr. Julian?
So we started with Marvin Gaye and Sexual Healing. We gotta get the other side of the coin.
It was in my head.
Some Aretha Franklin.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
With some R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Give me my propers.
What you want, baby, I got.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are listening to Love in the 21st Century, and we just took a dive into the past, listening to a recording with Emily Rose and Julian when they were back on the show in February of 2015. Wow, 2 years ago. Time surely flies. And talking about Emily Rose's book, which you can still find on Amazon if you Google Break Your Bad Love Habits. It has a pink daisy on the front. It's a turquoise book. And it's engaging, it's interesting, and it really helps to get a deeper perspective on maybe some reasons that we are continuously finding relationships that maybe aren't exactly what we're looking for. And here in Love in the 21st Century, we talk about a diverse areas of love. As we like to say, it's one-third self-love guide, one-third dating advice, one-third compassion training. And so this second half, we're going to be diving into a different area of love. We're going to be looking at love from the more communal, the more national, the more global perspective of love. So we have a couple activists here in the studio tonight that are here to talk about a different way to celebrate Valentine's Day. They are going to have a rally on Valentine's Day. So if you're an activist, you can take your lover. If you're not an activist, you can still take your lover. So let's hear from our folks in the studio. You mind introducing yourself?
Good evening. I'm Forrest Harlan.
And I'm Morgan Kennedy.
Thank you so much for joining us. Would you like to just say a little bit more about you each besides just your names?
Well, I've been busy in Chico in politics for 10 years, primarily as a activist for single-payer health care. In around 2010, I started getting involved with the more formal Democratic Party, joined the Democratic Action Club of Chico at that time, and have been active in progressive Democratic circles continuously since that time.
I got involved in politics less than a year ago while campaigning for our last election. I was the volunteer coordinator for the Move the Junkyard petition. I am the vice chair of the Democratic Action Club of Chico. I'm an elected AD3 delegate. And now I'm a point person for Mobilize Chico. So I've definitely dove in with both feet first, that's for sure.
Fantastic.
So we kind of represent both the more established progressives and the brand new progressives in town. That's why we wanted to make a rally that would appeal to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a very controversial time. So there's many people hopefully showing up more presently to the rallies that have been happening.
Go ahead.
Just like a massive amount. I mean, when I was started this whole thing by just working on the campaign for our local and state and national Democrats at headquarters, it was essentially a dozen people, if that, running the entire office. And I was definitely the youngest one by at least a couple decades. Besides Jeremy Markley from Chico State. I almost forgot him. He's younger than me. So it was definitely a very small, select group of people. And since the election, there has been just this huge rising up of people showing up and wanting to participate in the process, which is really encouraging for me to see.
Mm-hmm.
So I think let's kick in and give a brief description of the rally that we're going to have on next Tuesday, the 14th of February, Valentine's Day. It will be at the Oroville office of our representative, Doug LaMoffa. The address is 2862 on Olive Highway, right near Oroville Hospital. It will be going on from 1 until 2 o'clock. There will be a press conference at 1:30. Carpools are being organized, and we're asking folks to show up to the South Chico Raley's parking lot, but not near the store, but at the west end of the parking lot, closer to the Starbucks and the Country Kitchen restaurant on that end. And people should be there between 11:45 and 12 o'clock, and a firm leaving time of 12:15, or folks can just get themselves to Oroville. And again, the address is 2862 Oroville Highway.
And I definitely recommend people carpool if you can. I used to work in the area, and there's definitely a limited amount of parking. And just so we can all save gasoline, be a little friendlier on the environment, because there is a pretty large crowd expected to show up. We have a lot of different groups working in coordination with this rally. So it's a lot of different people coming from different activist groups around town. So it'll be large. So definitely show up and carpool if you can.
I'm just curious about something that you mentioned about the, you know, being two decades younger than a lot of the other folks that have been maybe in the established progressive movement. And the reason I ask is because I'm in that generation, and I'm just curious about your thoughts around the, you know, the demographics of people that are showing up, and maybe if you're using a different tactic in order to inspire people to participate, because from my experience, many people have been turned off in the way that politics are very divisive, mm-hmm. but also in a way that doesn't really, they feel like it doesn't identify with them. And it seems, you know, sort of silly and trivial to say that because politics affect us all.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like that's very true in our generation. And so I'm just curious if you incorporate that somehow in your organizing.
Yeah, I do, definitely. I think people, especially people right now who are just showing up to do things politically right after the election and the horrible results that we had, really need something that is going to make them feel better. And I think the number one thing really to do that, and has done that for me on several occasions, is getting involved in politics that are local. You know, all politics are local, but particularly getting involved in things that are affecting your community and working hard towards something and seeing it change right in front of your eyes where you live. It makes you feel like nothing is impossible. It gives you a lot of hope. And I do agree with you that we need to shift the focus on, you know, away from, you know, Democrats can't just show up and say, well, vote for me, I'm not a Republican, they're bad and they're crazy. You know, that doesn't do anything for anybody. Right. We need somebody who's coming in with, you know, good, solid change. At the same time, though, I mean, I definitely felt that working on the Hillary campaign. I personally, I found her and Bernie inspiring, but when it was her after the primaries, I found her inspiring. But I know a lot of people didn't, and I think we can't be asking people to have to dig as deep as we did with Hillary Clinton. I think we need someone who's more transparent with their message of change and hope for the future.
Absolutely.
And I'll speak as a member of the senior set that I was very, very active in the Bernie Sanders campaign in the primary, but I also was part of a team that went from the Bernie Sanders campaign and went just as fast and as hard to elect Hillary Clinton in the general election. And my experience of talking to the many, many, many millennials, we know that Hillary had like 80% support. I mean, Bernie had about 80% support of the millennials in the primary. So my experience with the millennials was really inspiring, very hopeful, and came away with tremendous respect for their willingness to get involved where they hadn't really felt like they had a reason to get involved. But the issues that got brought up by both candidates, but especially the more insurgent issues that Bernie Sanders brought up, really appealed to the millennials, and especially on economic and social justice issues. And we were glad to see Hillary adopt many of those campaign issues. And then we can move forward now in the present time to not dwell on the primary, but to go now move forward in the future with trying to get the energy of both the millennials and the progressive seniors, of which there are many here in Chico, to show some power and to show some sustained effort. But it's really important that we can show success, because we have a need to be active almost every day in the face of the threat of to our civil liberties, to our national security, to our ability not to have a nuclear bomb war get started. So we have all these issues, both local and global, and we need to really show that we can hang together and be a real team across the generations to really be successful at establishing a new politics.
I do think, though, I'm the type of person who tries to look at the positive of every situation. And I am in some ways grateful for the results of this election, because I feel like it really made people realize that their voices matter and that they have to get involved in these things. This is what's affecting our life. You know, these systems are in place that aren't working for us anymore, and that they have to stand up and change. And it's just, I mean, to go from going to regular, you know, progressive Democratic meetings and having like four people there to now every meeting I go to is bigger and bigger, and oh, we need to get bigger spaces. Where are we going to fit all these people? Right. It gives me a lot of hope for the future. I have a 4-year-old daughter, and I just really hope this trend continues with people wanting to be involved and feeling that what they have to say is important and wanting to contribute to their community and things that are going on nationally. I wish it would have happened sooner, but I'm glad it's happening now for sure.
Right. I mean, there's definitely been a lot about that said in terms of there being a wake up to mm-hmm. reality, because some of these issues, you know, yes, they become more prominent now that Trump is in office. However, the reality is a lot of these issues existed.
Yeah.
Especially with our foreign policy prior to Trump coming into office. And so there's ways in which a lot of people were sort of dormant to it. They yeah. were just like, it didn't affect them, or it wasn't trendy to be resistant. And so in a good way, like you said, people are awake to it now and they're participating. And hopefully that maintains. I imagine it's going to maintain as long as Trump's in office. So
yes, but
something to look forward to in that.
Well, yes. But it's not just Trump. It's actually, and I don't want to focus on Trump because Trump is just the figurehead.
Absolutely.
And he wanted to make it clear he was going to be the CEO of a large movement. And it really is a right-wing proto or actual fascist movement that he's fronting for. So one idea is that some people are thinking this is the beginning of a dark era. I was seeing a speech this morning that really was inspiring. And the woman speaker is an attorney who has Pakistani roots. And she was saying that this may also be the dark era of the womb before we enter into an age of yeah. great hope. So,
it's darkest before the dawn.
Whoever thought that the dawn of the age of Aquarius was going to be just a cakewalk in the park. The old power centers are not going to give up easily. Frederick Douglass, who became notorious recently, mm-hmm. was actually very clear in his most famous quote that the centers of power do not give up without a struggle. So
who would, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the struggle.
Right. The struggle is coming to grips with the reality that it's our fight and right. it's our opportunity. It's both a crisis
it's
and an
democracy.
Opportunity. And our democracy is at stake. And if we want to maintain a democracy, we need to have the kind of reaction that we've already seen. But people have to have a sustained effort. Fear will only carry us maybe 2 or 3 months down the road, as I see it. But we have to show people success in their local and national organizing. Mm-hmm. And even though we didn't win the fight for the cabinet positions that were being contested, even today, Betty DeVos is going to be the Secretary of Education. The fact that we took it to where it took the vice president to break the tie is actually success.
Mm-hmm, right.
So people to see that the resistance is having an effect. It's slowing it down.
Right.
And it's giving us a chance to get our forces together.
Yeah, and I'm actually seeing, I had kind of expected after everything blew up on the 8th of November for a bunch of people to start showing up. I figured that there would be a large group of people either wanting to get involved or just to express their feelings. And I thought that group would dwindle off after a little while because politics, even local politics, is very stressful. And a lot of it is very administrative. You know, protests and rallies are the glue that holds us together. But there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that needs to be done that creates real permanent change, which a lot of people don't want to be involved in. But what I've seen is actually quite the opposite, was that there was this big kind of, you know, group of people showing up to every meeting that they heard about, and they didn't go away. In fact, the numbers have continued to get larger.
Fantastic.
Which is really encouraging and just kind of showing that, you know, maybe the people who didn't initially realize how bad it could get, and then after the last couple weeks are, you know, it's gathering more and more and more people, mm-hmm. which is really good. So I'm pretty hopeful that we'll maintain a larger base going forward for the future, mm-hmm. you know, because I know the presidential election is, you know, a little under 4 years away, but we do have our midterms and, you know, things we can accomplish here by electing you know, some different people on city council. And, you know, there's lots of different things that can be affected in the 2018 race. So I really hope everyone sticks around to help us.
Fantastic. I wanted to ask you a question for us about something that you said, because it's a word that keeps being tossed around both in the media and in conversation, and that's referring to the current presidential cabinet as fascist. And so can you clarify what you mean by the use of that term for our listeners?
Well, fascism is a complicated political system, and there's lots of learned research done on that, but in a nutshell, fascism attempts to replace democracy through democratic means, usually. So it was true that Mussolini was elected. Adolf Hitler was not exactly directly elected, but he was appointed chancellor by the legislature. So it's, democracy has one big defect in that we have allowed the business interests, the corporate business interests in this country, to kind of take over the government.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a system that tends to want to replace democracy of the small d democracy with a democracy that kind of limits our choices to choosing one among two bad choices sometimes, and then
right.
We say we have elections. That's been true in Central America, most countries, for a very long mm-hmm. time, that they don't get to choose their real leaders that they would like to choose. So it's right. an economic and it's a political system that centralizes power in the hands of just a few elite.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's also part of an oligarchical system of old money supporting insurgent money, but it's very much on our minds now. And it's not just like when we had Reagan for president back in the early 80s, we had one guy who was appointed to the Interior Department, who was trying to sell off public land. Now we have an entire cabinet organized around privatization of public goods, basically removing the commons from the common access and charging money for things that used to be public goods in the past. So it's
right.
it's a whole onslaught we've never seen before in this country, and that's why we have to resist it.
Mm-hmm.
And just a quick counter to that, too. You know, I've had a lot of discussions about corporate money and politics. And I do agree that that needs to be something that is not part of our future. But at the same time, the only way that's going to happen is if people step up and assist the party that they believe in with money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, political movements and political organizations will die if they don't have funding. And a lot of people you know, don't realize that, or, you know, they don't want to go to a fundraiser, or it's, you know, it's like I was talking about before, it's the not fun side of politics. It's the administrative side of politics. But you know, it's something we need. Unfortunately, you know, we live in a capitalist society, so that's just the way it goes. If we don't have money, we can't get things done. So we really need to have our citizens step up and, you know, do their research and get involved and find things that they believe in. And, you know, you're going out and you're working hard every day, or hopefully you are, you know, instead of going to the movies, give, you know, that $15-$20 to, you know, a local organization. It really helps out in the long run. And I hope that people will come around to that in the future and get used to the idea of maybe more citizen-funded politics. Because right now we don't want corporate politics, but corporate politics is how, you know, the two parties survive. So mm-hmm. hopefully it'll change someday.
Someday soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully for the, you know, the success of our economy and the success of our humanity and the success of all the lives of the children to come.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk more about this rally specific and what the intention is with this rally that you're hosting on next Tuesday.
At 1:00 in Oroville. So the main theme that we've chosen is to focus on healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us have a background in organizing for better health care. And so we're not saying don't come with other messages, but we're going to have a flood of signs and discussion about health care, because it's important to not simply defend the Affordable Care Act, mm-hmm. but to present a vision of what can be better than the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
The Republicans don't intend to replace the Affordable Care Act because they don't have it, because the Affordable Care Act is actually a Republican healthcare plan that was came out of the Heritage Foundation, adopted by Mitt Romney in Massachusetts, and the main model for the Affordable Care Act nationally. So we're asking also to defend Medicare and Medi-Cal as the model of how we can provide healthcare of high quality to everybody. We also intend to have messages about protecting Planned Parenthood and women's reproductive rights in general. We also have the women's health specialists here in Chico that very important to defend them from more than maybe just pickets outside. Violence has been threatened to other, and defunding has been threatened to other agencies that provide health care for women that provide a whole host of health benefits that go well beyond the possibility of abortions in some cases. So we're talking about health care, and we want people to come out and register their opinion. We're going to encourage people to go in pairs to sign the guest register in the office and to present respectful messages. We like to have respect in our politics, and that's a key thing.
No vulgar signs,
right,
please.
Please, no vulgar signs. But we also want people to come and line the streets. And if we get the numbers we hope to have, we'll have a long line. That'll make a great media shot. But we also want to have people come and share their love, because the theme we're calling it is send them off a message on healthcare.
Yeah.
So we don't want people to be out of control. We want people to come and share respectfully. We've purchased a box of high-quality chocolates for the 14th in a heart-shaped box.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to give that to the staff at the beginning. I won't unwrap it in case they're suspicious. So we're going to leave it wrapped up in this original wrapping, and we're going to present it to them with a little message about Medicare for All.
Fantastic.
Yeah, because we're just trying to get our message across. We're definitely not out to make people feel unsafe or intimidated in any way. We're just representing ourselves, and it's a definitely a peaceful protest. If anybody wants more information, you can look up the event on Facebook. Just search for Tell LaMalfa What You Love, and it will be the only thing that pops up under that result.
Nice.
And that's the event page, or you can coordinate with other people. I've had some people on there volunteering for different times for individual carpools if the one at Raley's doesn't work. You know, we are in coordination with several other groups, so this definitely is a very collaborative effort.
Fantastic.
And lots of groups have, I will say, this idea started with a handful of the same folks that organized the recent elections for Democrats to the convention, and it simply exploded. Other
it's
groups.
We're all in all these other groups, so we've all connected them all. It's been this really cool thing to see.
So Mobilize Chico has formed right after the election, and they've become a new organizing force here in Chico, and we're really pleased that they're fully on board with this and providing lots of new people and new energy to the thing. We love new activists, please.
Yes.
If you haven't been experienced in politics, please come out. We really want to give you a good experience, an empowering experience, and one that will encourage you to come out again and again. It's going to require lots of repeated actions to have a real impact, and maybe in the future we might have a better congressman too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
and it's a different approach. I mean, I know that you were talking right before we came in for us about some of the other rallies that have happened in California and also nationally that have gotten media attention for being unruly, for being violent. And so this is a very different approach to approach LaMalfa with kindness and with love and say, this is what the people that you represent really want. And I believe that it's really what will reach people is when you're saying it in a way that they can hear it, not in a way that they have to become defensive or angry towards you for it. And just the component about community building, the fact that like it's bringing so many people together, and people are realizing that so many people have shared values as they do. And so what you were mentioning for us, if you've never been to a rally before, if you've never, you know, talked to anybody about politics, it's a great place is to meet people at rallies, because people are so inspired to talk about what they believe in, and you can start to make connections and friends that support the things that you believe in.
Yeah, this is, you know, we just as a society a lot of the time live in kind of a little familial bubble with each other, you know, just our friends and immediate family is who we communicate with. And when you're feeling frustrated or upset with things, or things feel out of your control like this last election, it is so soul nourishing to be able to show up and connect with other people who you didn't know before, who share the same ideas as you. It makes me very proud to live in Chico. I'm a native. I've always been proud of being here, but it's you know, just really encouraging to meet all these people. It feels like it's a safer place for me to live with my family and make new friends and for my daughter to grow up in. So it really it helps a lot.
Fantastic. And so for people that are listening, if you want more information, you can look it up on Facebook. Tell LaMalfa what you love. And for anybody that's not an internet user, any suggestions of how they can get in touch with either one of you or an organization that's supporting the cause?
Do you want to go first?
Go ahead.
I was going to say you can always reach out to the Democratic Action Club of Chico. You can, but that's also online now because we're not having a meeting since before then. You can show up to the Mobilize meetings. They're on Sundays at noon at the Chico Peace and Justice Center. You can also just show up either to the LaMalfa's office on the 14th or show up to the carpool area at Rayleigh's. You know, we're welcoming everybody with open arms as long as they are, you know, okay with having a peaceful protest.
Right. Definitely, if you don't know how to get over us online, then come to a carpool spot at the South Rayleigh's west end of the parking lot at by 11:45 or 12 o'clock, and we'll depart from there. You'll make some new friends, and you'll feel more empowered. You'll be happy.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for both of you making the time to be here and spreading the love.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Love and politics. Love it.
Love it. Love and politics. All right. Stay tuned for Ecotopia coming up next with Stephen and Susan Chudy. Always an engaging hour. We're going to leave you here with Peaceful Warrior, Stay Rising, One Tribe Movement.
And I pray for all our people right now in this time. It's been very confusing. There's been a lot of violence. We live in a way, a peaceful way, in a good way, and we ask that you give us the courage and the strength to continue this way.
I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am my mama's child. Eh, eh. She gave me.
Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Mountain Mike's Pizza, serving up thick and thin style pizzas, oven-baked sandwiches, and a salad bar. Mountain Mike's offers takeout and delivery at four locations in Chico at 1722 Mangrove Avenue and West 5th and Walnut Streets in Paradise at 6626 Clark Road and in Oroville inside the Big Lot Shopping Center on Oro Dam Boulevard.
We stay rising, stay rising, stay rising, stay rising, we stay rising, stay rising, stay rising, stay rising.
It's time to fix the broken system we live in. Turn the negative into a positive. Listen, children. You came from the stars and you're more magical than you ever knew you are. Let your love guide you, let your light shine true. Don't let it mine, you've got diamonds inside your soul. Don't be afraid of who you are. Kings and queens who came from the stars. Who needs proof when you know what truth is? The truth just is, it needs no mirror to exist. And since we're living in